are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a Friday episode. It is our weekly wink. We will be bringing on Nick Winkler in 1 second. I do need to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts. We are everywhere that you can find podcasts, all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. And tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. And you can go to LockedOn49ers.com, find all kinds of other content along with the podcast and where to subscribe. Follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. That's the best place to get those mailbag questions in. We will be dipping into the mailbag today. So let's bring on today's guest. Nicholas, how are you, sir?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing? How's the family? How's the little guy? How's Leo doing?
He was angry today.
Oh, no. Yeah, they do that sometimes. I think it's like a tummy issue or something.
Yeah, it might be that. He woke up, wasn't having it.
Yeah, maybe you just kept him in a poop diaper too long or something, just wasn't into it.
It wasn't me.
Oh, wait.
I'm dad of the year.
I know what it was. He woke up and you weren't mom.
That is potentially it.
They really love mom at that age.
Then mom got home just now and everything's good.
Look at that. See? Yep. I knew it, man. It always comes down to mom.
Yep. His mouth is full.
But as a 49er fan, you know, it's just another week of heartbreak and misery and all of that. So, yeah, and then got the Rams coming up. So what more could possibly go wrong?
I foresee here's the Rams thing that I think can happen. I think the 49ers gained a little confidence, just missing out on one on Monday Night Football, on the road, hostile environment, and everything that a primetime game brings you. And then the fact that this primetime game was just ripped out from underneath the 49ers, and they've got the Dwight Clark ceremony and the catch ceremony and the unveiling of the statue and the throwback uniforms going back to the last championship from that 1994 season, the all whites. I think the team is going to be fired up, and I think the team potentially could be like, dude, you want to take a primetime game away from us? Let's light this you know what on fire today. And so that's what I'm hoping the 49ers can do, is really pull this one out and give the Rams at least all they can handle and even potentially pull out a win at home.
Sure, why not? I mean, yeah, like you said, everything's going for them right now. They played a great game. I mean, you know, they're coming off of a short week, which is definitely not helpful in any way. But the Rams won't have Cooper Kupp, who's one of their best weapons there on offense. They still have Todd Gurley, who's probably the best player in the NFL right now. So, yeah, there's that. I love the all whites, man. I can't wait to see that. If I was going to buy a jersey this season, I'd probably go for that all white, man. That thing looks really clean. But, yeah, sure, why not? Why not win a game? You know, Beathard looked good in the pocket. He made, one bad decision late, but that was just kind of like a punt anyways. But, yeah, what the hell? And I think, if you're playing against anybody else on Monday night besides Aaron Rodgers, I think they probably win that football game.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I like how easy you were for me to convince of that that's what was going to happen on Sunday.
You're powerful, your words, man.
Maybe I should come in and give him the pregame speech.
You guys can do this. Yeah. Stay pumped up. Show them that you've been disrespected. I'd be pissed if I was like a season ticket holder, if I had tickets to that game, because I would love to go to a night game there, because I've only been to day games so far, and it's so hot in that sun. You'd be like, all right, cool, we got a night game. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, we don't anymore.
And it's been quite warm around here, so it's going to be probably a hot and bright one out there on Sunday. And with all the ceremony stuff, it would have been nice to have all that going on earlier. Then you get to the game and have a later game. Now they're going to cram that all in the morning.
Yeah, I would be pissed. I am kind of pissed. I work on Sunday, so I was going to get to watch the game and everything. Now I got to record it and watch it later. Yeah, I'm unhappy with the NFL right now.
Yeah, that's BS. And there's some more primetime games the 49ers could still get yanked as well.
And they probably will. I mean, let's be completely honest. They're not exactly – well, I guess they're trending in the right direction. It was a good game last week. Marquise Goodwin, my boy, finally showing up, having a great game. The defense, I mean, man, you really look at the numbers on that defense. Just Richard Sherman alone, it's unbelievable. Right? I mean, they've thrown at him, what, two completions on him all season? Like, 10 passes sent his way? Like, that's unreal.
Yeah, they don't throw to him, and why would you at this point?
Yeah, I mean, if you could just pick apart everybody else.
Yeah,
sure.
With the miscommunications, there's been at least one just wide-open person to
every
start.
Time.
And these are the first drives of games. This isn't like after you get into the game and they've done some scheme stuff and are confusing you out there. They're just not covering people. And Adrian Colbert, unforgivable, not being at home in center field and jumping that route underneath in the first game, the first play of the game against the Cardinals. And then last week it was the rookie wide receiver getting wide open with a miscommunication on the left side. It's all happening on the other side from Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
So why would teams go away from that at this point?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It'd be foolish not to, because they're definitely putting up numbers every single game. You know, the Niners defense, they got home a couple times with the quarterback. That was fun to see. You see a lot more of it. I like the pressure that Saleh was bringing. That was fun to watch.
More consistency, and that's where the 49ers can continue to get better. Even with the talent they have, there's things they can do better, and we saw, I think, Beathard's by far his best game was against the Packers, because the week before, a lot of people talked about the numbers and like, oh, they put up all these yards and he threw the ball 54 times. It wasn't efficient. It wasn't like they threw 1,000 screen passes, you know, and it was not a situation where, even though there was less yards in the Monday Night Football game, he played a lot better, got the ball out quicker. They hit those big plays, and I love seeing Marquise Goodwin back in the lineup, because that really, it changes things for the 49ers offense. The defenses have to play them honestly, and they have to, and you see what happens if they don't. You can't let that guy behind you, because he's got like crazy speed. There's speed, then there's NFL speed, and then there's the speed that Marquise Goodwin has and few other players have. Tyreek Hill and a couple of other guys around the league have that kind of ability. And I think sometimes guys think that they've got him, and then they're like, oh, yeah, he's got a different gear.
Right. Yeah, I believe they refer to that as world-class speed.
Right.
But he also, you mentioned it, he changes the game. I mean, look how well the running game did. And that's because they had to keep a guy back to kind of, you know, not let Marquise Goodwin, you know, just beat him deep every time. So that just took a guy out of that run defense, which they've been able to stack every single week with like Goodwin's not in there. So he's definitely super valuable. It'd be nice to get Pettis back too. So I liked what Richie James was doing in the return game, you know, a couple costly turnovers, and you know, it was a fun game to watch, which it hasn't been for a few weeks now as a 49er fan. So that's something we can hang our hat on.
For sure. And you see how that works and how the relationship works between the running game and the passing game and things that open up other things. And if you're doing this well, then you can counter it with something else. And it's the same way on the defensive side of the ball. If you can create some pressure, it makes it a lot easier on the defensive backs and vice versa. You cover a little bit longer. Maybe a guy's able to get home, create some turnovers. It's something the 49ers haven't been able to do on defense. But I think that's and just the miscommunication stuff. I mean, some of that is inexcusable. How can they continually be making a new, it's not the same mistake, it's a new mistake every game.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, there was a miscommunication here. And it's like, well, fix it.
Right.
Fix it. What are you doing?
You're the best players in the world. Fix it. Come on. You got the best coaches. Let's go.
And that was the whole scheme. The whole cover three thing, the whole Robert Saleh defense was supposed to be that they can play fast. They don't have to think about things. And so what is going on with the communication? Who is communicating? And, like, what are these guys saying to each other during a play? You know what I mean? It's not like they're like, hey, hold on. Hey, Jimmy, will you go ahead and cover this young gentleman over here who's running 4-4 right by us right now? It's like, what is the communication that is being missed? It's like, dude, stay in center field. Don't let anybody behind you. You know, it's a very simple scheme, and it's supposed to be simple for a reason so guys can play fast. So what are these communication gaffes that are happening? I don't get that, and I would like to hear more.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I've been out of the loop here the last few days with doing with kids stuff, and so I didn't get to listen to your game balls that you gave out the other day. I hope you gave one, or at least gave a shout out to Ronald Blair, because he stood out, man. He looked great in that game.
Oh, you know what? I did not give Ronald Blair a game ball, but that is a perfect segue to the mailbag. So let's just get into it.
Sweet.
Let's go to the email. This is from Rodney. He says, some thoughts about week 6. Number 1, Ronald Blair looked good. Perhaps he can play like Ray McDonald. That's an interesting comparison.
I like
for
that
what
comparison.
He does. Yeah, sort of a bigger end or undersized. And Ronald Blair could line up anywhere across the line, I think, on passing downs, you know, more of an end, because he's what? He's like 6'2", 280, weirdly shaped guy.
Yeah, and he was just being disruptive, man. Mm-hmm. It was great to see.
Right, yeah, so absolutely, Ronald Blair deserves some credit. I haven't talked enough about him on the podcast. And when Ronald Blair's your best pass rusher, that's not a good sign, but
no.
Props to Ronald Blair for making his presence felt.
Yeah, he was like the only one that wasn't fooled, you know, multiple times on that Rodgers bootleg that they kept doing. So, you know, you got to give him some praise on that, too.
Absolutely. His second thought here, and he's got a few of them, as Rodney tends to do. Thanks for the email, Rodney. Number two, he said, Niners defense susceptible to quarterback running up the middle. Not sure if they're in man or zone defense. Yeah, that happens a lot when you're covering a long time. And the defense, we used to see it all the time with Kaepernick. If you run man, the safeties and the defensive backs have their back to Kaepernick. And he just needs a little gap and he's gone. And, you know, Rodgers is good with that.
Not sure that's just an NFL. All right, I think that's an NFL thing. Yeah. I feel like more and more you see that happening. Quarterback's back. He's got time. Nobody's open. Up the middle. Oh, it's wide open. Look at that.
And part of it, I think, is just having not super athletic defensive linemen to chase him down.
They have like one goal, and that's to get him in the pocket.
Right.
And so he gets outside, and he's running, and they're like, wait, I got to turn around and go the way I just came? No.
And then, let's see, number three, early plan for 2019, build a monster all-caps defense.
So, yeah, if that's the plan to build a monster defense, you got to start with somebody who can get to the quarterback.
Yeah, right. And that's what he goes on to say, talking about more steps. Yeah, get edge rushers. That'll help build that monster defense. He said the offense can already score some points. Yeah, and I would say I don't know what the magic formula is for a lot of games in the NFL. We've seen the 49ers not win a lot of games the last couple of years, but lose so many close games. So what's that magic formula? What needs to happen with the 49ers that they are winning the three-point games instead of losing the three-point games?
Yeah. Is it a locker room issue? Is it just a lack of confidence? Is it just it's bad luck? Like, there's a lot of things that could be doing this, but after a while, you got to start ruling the luck thing out because you're like, oh, they're not winning any of these close games at all.
Right.
And they definitely had the chance to win this football game. They had multiple chances, and it was hard to watch, but at the same time, it's like, okay, that's one of the best quarterbacks who's ever played the game, you know, and he was putting on a clinic out there on how to run a no huddle offense and how to run the fade. And, you know, just, it was painful, but again, at the same time, you just got to tip your hat, you know?
Oh, right. And not even about the Packers game, but just going forward and looking back and all these tight games and losing games. And then of course, Kyle Shanahan being the offensive coordinator of that fantastic Super Bowl loss when they were up 28-3 on the Patriots.
Right.
I'm waiting, and I'm surprised we haven't heard more people start to point at Kyle Shanahan about being someone who can't game manage a win, someone who can can pull defeat out of the jaws of victory kind of thing. And I'm surprised more people haven't really attached themselves to that. I think that because there's so many problems with the 49ers and they've been, you know, having some gaffes on the defensive side of the ball and then certain things with, you know, injuries and personnel wise, so I think it doesn't all come back to Kyle Shanahan, and I'm not saying it should, but I'm sort of surprised with the way fans are losing all these close games that they haven't started pointing at him. Especially, I mean, a little bit they did this week, you know, talking about his play calling down the stretch and some game management stuff, but I'm surprised he hasn't actually gotten more. And I guess he's just still a young coach, and fans don't know where to point, I think, is maybe part of it.
Yeah, I think he's kind of getting a bit of a free pass, you know, based on the injuries. And when they brought him in, you know, they continue to say him and John Lynch, you know, this is a process. This is going to take a while to get this thing righted. We're basically starting from square one. And then when you go into year two and you have all these expectations and then you lose your starting running back and you lose your starting quarterback and, you know, you're losing wide receivers left and right. You lose both your safeties for a few games. Like, it does seem like it's just one thing after the next is kind of being stacked against this guy. And yeah, I think he does kind of get a bit of a free pass this season. And, you know, if it goes into next season and it's more of the same, then, you know, maybe he's just snake bitten, you know?
That will start to get very ugly if they start losing again next season.
Oh, yeah. Even if it's injuries. Yeah, I think at some point you do have to stop using excuses and stop giving people free passes. And yeah, you just got to win football games because other teams are out there doing it, you know, regardless of who's in there. You know, you have backups for a reason. You know, they're the next man up. They are supposed to step in and job right. You're not supposed to even look like you have backups in there. You know, you're just supposed to not lose a step at all.
I totally agree there. Let's go to Anthony. Let's stick with some emails here. He says, so it sucks to lose, but Aaron Rodgers had to do Aaron Rodgers things.
Yeah.
He says, Sunday is our Super Bowl. Do you agree?
it's going to be another game where, yeah, why not just sell out? You know, you're going for it on fourth and long in your own territory. Who cares at this point, right? I mean, you know, I don't want to see any conservative play calling. I don't want to see any nonsense. Because sure, play it like it is your Super Bowl. Play it like, why not? Let's beat our division rivals. Let's give them that. Let's beat that team that appears unbeatable at this point. They look really damn good.
Is Anthony saying that the 49ers are going to have a 28-3 lead and lose? Is that
ooh, taking some Kyle Shanahan shots. Yeah. I like it.
No, to be honest, like with the whole the ceremony with the catch and the 94 reunion and the uniforms at home against the undefeated Rams, there might not be a better game to win if you could choose one than this one. So I kind of agree with Anthony there.
There's going to be a lot of emotion for sure.
And he also said an underrated matchup in this game is Todd Gurley versus Reuben Foster.
I don't know if that's underrated. That's like the number one thing I want to watch.
Oh, absolutely. That's something I can't wait for.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's go to Derek via email. He said he's got a couple of questions. Number one, Sherman's stat of him allowing a catch every 140, whatever it is, snaps is impressive, but isn't that being inflated by the corners on the opposite side?
Yeah,
we talked about that already a little bit. I think that's absolutely part of it. And Eric Crocker, who's a friend of the show, former pro cornerback, broke down Akella Witherspoon and how he hasn't looked as bad as what he's, he's getting jerked around. He was on the right side, then put on the left side, then some injuries, and then starting and not starting. And I totally agree with Crocker. It's like, put Akella Witherspoon at right cornerback. He should take every rep there possible. He's your third round pick. He's the guy that's supposed to develop into the starter on the opposite side of Richard Sherman, and let him go play and let him develop and stop jerking guys around. And there's been a lot of that on the defensive line, trying to figure out who's going to play when. Oh, it's like, oh, so-and-so had a good week of practice. He's going to play this week. No, like one good week of practice. You didn't know who this player was until this week. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Pick who the starters are. And when somebody becomes not the starter, then that guy is the starter and he stays there. You know, the stuff moving guys in and out and around, it just seems like at some point they're not even sure about what they have themselves. And if they're not sure, then that's where the fans are going to be really confused.
Yeah, it's almost at that point where it's like, just give him the reps, you know, like give him experience, keep him out there, keep him in, like you said, one spot, let him get his take his licks out there and really understand what's happening, and then watch the film afterwards, you know, give him something to grow on. And I don't know if you saw the snap totals from the defensive line too, and you look and at the very bottom is Solomon Thomas with 29 snaps. I mean, man, what's going on there, too? Is he just not doing anything out there, so they're keeping him off the field? Or are they even giving him a fair shot? Like, yeah, that's looking like a real big bust right there.
And he's a really good run-defending defensive end. And at that point, that's what they're using him as. So he's base defensive end. And Sheldon,
when you're
Day
playing against Aaron Rodgers, he drops back 75% of the time. Yeah, yeah. All
exactly.
Right.
So you want the guy that's on the pass side of being a part-time player, not the run side of being a part-time player. I mean, that's why you have a nose tackle who comes in there on run downs. Then you pull him out and you bring another DB in the game. And then you play what most teams play football 75% of the time is that sub package. So, yeah, number three overall pick, not really working out so far as on passing downs, which is what the NFL is. Derek's second point here says, is it just me or does Tart and Colbert consistently take really poor pursuit angles?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's just another thing of being young players who don't have a ton of experience.
That's one of the things that Colbert has always done is he's the missile. Yeah. Like he comes in hard and he comes in with his head down and he lays
a shot.
He's
going so fast. Yeah, he might miss you.
Throws in a shoulder. He doesn't wrap up. Tart is, I think, more, just some angles sometimes are bad. I think he's nursing a shoulder. So maybe he's trying to not go full contact with the shoulder. So there might be multiple things happening there. But yeah, the tackling is inexcusable. That's 101. Shouldn't even be something they're learning at the NFL level. They should already be able to tackle.
Yeah. I mean, what are you bringing in guys for, onto your practice squad or picking up free agents or drafting guys if they can't tackle? Like, what the heck are you doing? Now that they're here, they're like, I got to make that highlight reel, by throwing my body at them and trying to get the big hit.
Yeah, you're starting NFL safety and you can't tackle? What's going on?
What's going on? How'd you get this far?
Yeah, how did you get here? Let's go to Twitter. This is Aaron. He said, do you see Mostert taking over the second back for the rest of the season, or is it just more of a game plan thing versus the Packers?
It's probably a game plan thing, but he looked good.
Yeah, so I think it was more of a game plan thing, and Kyle Shanahan did mention that he was going to use Mostert a lot just because he knew that Breida was banged up. And then once he got in the game, he played well. So they kept sticking with him. And so I think now he's got a little confidence and he's obviously got more juice than Alfred Morris. He's more similar to Breida, I think, in that regard. So yeah, I think, and why not? He looked pretty good out there. So unless he starts fumbling again, he might be the number two guy the rest of the way.
I know. I don't know about you, but every time he touched the ball, I was scared he was going to put it on the ground.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know it's just based on one carry, but still.
DJ Reed, he lost his job. Yeah. I don't think he'll be returning any more kicks. He had that nice return for a touchdown against the Lions and then put a couple on the ground. That second one, he didn't see the ball again. It was all Richie James after that. So I think he
might have lost that job. And I hope he never sees it again.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Like I mean, I agree in second chances, but third chances, nah.
Nope, you don't get three.
Yeah.
The rule of wink, no three.
Two strikes, you're out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like slow pitch softball when you start with the 1-1 count.
Yeah, there you go. He whips it slow pitch. Can't do that.
Let's go to Sonny. With the Cards apparently shopping Patrick Peterson, do you see Lynch making a move for him, then focusing on pass rushers in the draft? Peterson and Sherman would be a nice duo. That would be a pretty unbeatable duo there. I don't see it.
Mm-mm.
But, I mean, John Lynch is an aggressive guy. So if it makes sense.
How old is Peterson, though? I mean, you're going to bring in another almost 30 cornerback?
That's what's interesting. So a lot of people are talking about the draft and looking ahead. It's like pass rushers, yes, absolutely. Draft three. Draft as many as you can. But when it comes to corners, they just drafted a bunch. They drafted two corners last year, third and fifth round. They drafted a third round corner a year before that. At some point, these guys have to develop. So I would look more for just a veteran cornerback in free agency that can play the scheme sound. And if you can't develop the guys you got, why draft more guys that you can't develop, right? So let Tarvarius Moore continue to develop. Let Witherspoon play and develop and hope those guys develop into starters. If they're not doing it, maybe you just need to get a veteran that already knows how to play NFL football in there and stop screwing around with these height, weight, speed corners and then get a pass rush that'll help whoever's back there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really go out in free agency and sign a pass rusher, you know, so that's definitely you're going to have to develop that through the draft. So, yeah, I mean, why not go out and spend some money on a cornerback and put him opposite Richard Sherman? Sherman's clearly showing you like, yeah, look, I can still lock this down. Peterson's actually only 28, so he's not, you know, he's not that old. He's probably got a few good years left. But then again, you know, when you got to develop guys also. And it's almost looking like the guys they're drafting right now at cornerback aren't working out, you know. It's early. They've got some time, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm really, you look at what they did with Sherman. They bring in this guy who's the veteran who they want to act as the coach. And then they bring in a bunch of young guys, you know, to kind of learn under him. But I don't feel like they're learning anything. Maybe it's just me, but I don't feel like the progression is there.
Yeah. I'm not seeing that either. And what's interesting about this scheme is it's supposed to be predicated on a really nasty front four and some athletic linebackers that can cover a little bit, and it's supposed to be easy for the corners. That's why they want these tall, lengthy corners to play a cover three. You don't need Patrick Peterson. That's kind of the point of this whole thing. I mean, if you need Patrick Peterson and you need Richard Sherman on the other side and you need Earl Thomas in center field and you need stud pass rushers and ridiculous linebackers, then how good is your scheme?
Yeah, exactly. You're just going out and get a bunch of great players. And that's just it. Maybe, you know, the way that Richard Sherman is teaching these guys, like they can't do it because they don't have Richard Sherman's abilities. It reminds me a lot of, there was this Tiger Woods commercial where, you know, when he was in his prime and he's like, I'm going to teach you guys how to hit a sand shot 300 yards. First, you line up your shot. Then you hit it 300 yards. Got it? It's like, no. Doesn't work like that.
I love that. That's hilarious. Let's go to Travis on Twitter. Do you think the lack of reps for Solomon Thomas has anything to do with the loss of his sister? Maybe he's mentally not all there right now.
That's tough to tell. I mean, that was, you know, that's something I'm sure that would weigh on anyone.
Yeah,
clearly.
And that's something that could weigh on you for, I mean, forever. You don't ever really completely get over something like that, I'm sure.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not, I mean, I don't know. I could never know that. And maybe it is playing a role in Thomas's development. Maybe it's weighing on him heavily.
Yeah.
So that's something that I can't answer. And really, he's the only guy that could answer that. But I wouldn't expect it. I would expect the time that it wouldn't be a problem for him to be on Sundays. Like, that's his
escape. When the game's out there, that's like the most focus you could possibly be. It's like last year when Goodwin, you know, lost their child, you know, like,
right.
he went out there and he caught a touchdown. He had one of his best games as a pro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like, yeah, you're right. It's like one of those times where that's where you shut everything else out and you just focus. But everybody's different. You know, so who has any idea?
Right. So I don't know. And it could be
it's got to be rough regardless.
Yeah, it could be very rough and weighing on him. Who knows?
Sure,
so that,
sure.
That could be part of it. Let's go to 904 Niners Nation and finish up this mailbag here. He says, at what point is it not okay to keep explaining away losses like penalties, injuries, clock management, drops, etc.?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, again, I'm
today,
not trying to explain
right now,
away
that's when
this last loss.
Right.
You know, I don't. The only thing that explains this last loss is that Aaron Rodgers beat you at Lambeau Field.
I would
you know,
say
with,
that
with,
it's, for the last loss, the thing you have to explain is why you gave the ball back to Aaron Rodgers and you didn't.
Right.
You didn't at least miss a field goal and have to go to overtime, or just go
it was just
four and out
yeah,
and
that
not
was just,
score.
They didn't execute. That's
right.
Why you gave the ball back to Aaron Rodgers.
Right. But that was, and that goes back to the clock management, play calling stuff.
Yeah.
You have all three timeouts, get the clock running.
Right.
And don't throw the ball consecutive times, incomplete, then interception. And so there's multiple reasons. So, and here's one thing that I love about Kyle Shanahan, but it's the thing that's hurt him too, is being aggressive. Cause you hate the coach
yeah.
who's, and it's funny because the 49ers right now, the coaching staff is getting killed on social media for the opposite things that coaching staffs usually get killed for. Usually
right.
people are mad because the rookie high draft pick is playing bad, but they keep playing him, or the high priced player keeps playing because they've put all this capital into that player and they just have the job and they won't ever play the other players. But
mm-hmm.
49ers fans are annoyed because Solomon Thomas isn't out there very much and Akella Witherspoon isn't out there as much as he should be. So it's kind of flipped that kind of thing. And then on the other side, Shanahan is throwing too much. Usually you're mad because the quarterback's running into a brick, or the coach is calling plays, running the ball into a brick wall, old school vanilla football. Kyle Shanahan's doing the opposite, and then he's getting crushed for that. So basically, the only rule is it has to work, and then you're good.
Yeah. No, see, I'm with you on that 100%. Like, the only reason people are second-guessing his play calling is because it didn't work. I mean, if you watch that football game, everything was working on offense until the end. I mean, they put up 30 points. That, you know, C.J. Beathard threw for a ton of yards. I mean, 200 and almost 50 yards. You know, he was very accurate with his passes. And yeah, the running game was on point. It just felt like I'm not going to second guess his play calling there at the end because I liked it. I didn't like the deep bomb there on that pass. But then again, if he doesn't underthrow it, you know, that's a touchdown.
Yeah. If
you know,
he completes
if he executes
it,
the pass, that's everyone's calling. He's a genius. The execution wasn't there. That's just plain and simple.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, if it works, nobody says anything. When it doesn't work, it doesn't matter what you
right.
did. It's the wrong. And that's kind of what Kyle Shanahan said. He's like, look, I would do something different because it didn't work.
Right. You got to respect that.
So maybe, and that's maybe some growing pains as a coach. Maybe he'll learn
sure.
that. And a lot of, because he's never been a head coach before anywhere. Some of these guys have been head coaches in high school or college, or, you know, they've played and lost and won a lot of games. And they realized, okay, at the end of the game, there's this thing that you can't do to lose the game. So I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to go to old school football, which is smart. Let's get the clock running. Let's end the game with the ball in our possession. And so
right.
maybe he's still learning some of those things. And it's still a young, remember, it's a young staff. It's a young defensive staff. It's a young offensive staff. It's a young front office. So some growing pains here I think we're seeing in year two. But there's some reasons for optimism. I think they can get things straightened out. And if they don't, they're going to be gone, and year three is going to
yep.
be huge when they get Garoppolo back. They've got to start putting up W's or think. And like, and people keep asking, like, you know, do you fire Robert Saleh? Do you fire? I mean, maybe Saleh's job could be in jeopardy in the offseason. It wouldn't
right.
be during the season. And that would have to be where there's some amazing veteran coach that's available that they wanted to hire anyway or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You're not going to start over fresh with like another young guy like
yeah.
Saleh.
And you don't want to go changing schemes because you've already
right.
you're already piecing together personnel for this scheme. And you just changed from a 3-4 to this. You don't want to start to go back again. So these guys are safe for a while. But year three,
right.
they start losing some games. I think you might have some actual hot seat action. But right now, it's growing pains. It's growing pains for everybody, players, coaches. And the thing is, you have to hope they learn from it and get better.
And I just want to continue to see competitive games like we saw on Monday night. That's all I'm asking for.
It was a fun game. Let's keep doing that.
It was. Yeah. Maybe squeak out a win here and there.
And let's light this thing on fire, Levi's Stadium Sunday.
Boom.
Beat the Rams.
Yeah,
that would
bring
be
out. You're going to be out there. Represent.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. Thanks again, Nick, for joining me on the show.
My pleasure.
Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Be back on Monday with a little rapid react from Sunday's action against the Rams right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.